The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Dean Silver from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the book, The Timber Press Guide to Vegetable Gardening in the Southeast. And this is by Ira Wallace. And we will start from where we ended last week. And it was, I was giving you the charts with help to pick the easiest crops to grow. And we had the easy to grow crops, and that is for the cool season. We read the warm season last program, so we'll do the cool season, and that is beets, bunching onions, kale, broccoli, cabbage, kohlrabi, rutabaga, turnips, lettuce, peas, snap and snow peas, radishes, shallots, garlic and perennial onions, southern greens and mustard greens, arugula, turnip greens, and creasy greens. And the crops that are in need of extra space are Swiss chard, asparagus, cucumbers, grinding corn, popcorn, Jerusalem artichokes, sunflowers, sweet potatoes, watermelon, winter squash, moschata types, butternut, tan cheese, and Seminole. And the slightly more challenging crops are, for the warm season, we have edamame, eggplant, peanuts, pole beans, slicing tomatoes, summer squash, sweet peppers. And the cool season, we have Asian greens, bulbing onions, carrots, leeks, potatoes, peas, English and shelling, potatoes and spinach. And those in need of extra space are melons, sweet corn, non-moschata, winter squash such as Hubbard, Koori, and Delicata. And challenging crops, which are not for the beginner, but if you've already been doing this a long time, for the warm season are celery and celeriac. Cool season are Brussels sprouts, fava beans, and runner beans. And the ones in need of extra space are big pumpkins and globe artichokes. Now, locating your garden. First, look at where you will get the most sun. You can always amend your soil, install irrigation, level out grades, and make lots of other changes. But you can't tell the sun where to shine. If you're planting in the winter, notice if you'll lose sunshine when the trees leaf out. Be aware of tall buildings and walls that shade your garden. Once you've identified possible sites, try to locate your garden as near as your house and water sources as possible. I've had to haul water to my garden, and it's a whole lot of work. Think about access to your garden with a wheelbarrow or cart. You may be hauling a lot of produce out there. Choose soil with good tilth. A good mix of clay and sand is great, but you can always improve your soil. I really think that soil quality should be secondary to picking a site with good light and a convenient location. And now, when to plant. In our climate, we can have something growing in the garden every day of the year. To get the most out of your garden, we have to pay attention to timing, when to plant, but also when a planting is done. You might be able to get a few more vine-ripened tomatoes, but it's often better to pull all those old plants in time to sow your winter cover crops or spring spinach. Plus, you can ripen green tomatoes on the counter indoors. We have three distinct planting seasons. There's the spring cool season, the warm season, and the fall cool season. The spring cool season planting starts as soon as the soil is workable. Warm season planting begins in late spring when the soil is warm enough for heat-loving crops. The fall cool season planting actually begin in midsummer and continue at least through October. Garlic and onions are even later. When planting perennials like berries and asparagus for the first time, they are generally best put in the ground in the spring and fall. And now, succession planting and filling in spaces. Some crops are simply ready when they're ready, and that's that. To have a good supply over time, you have to stagger planting to prolong the harvest. A benefit of doing several plantings is security in case of extreme weather. Here are other things to remember. Frequent plantings of fast crops. We do frequent succession plantings for quick-growing crops that are best fresh from the garden. Think of lettuce, radishes, peas, arugula, and bush beans. Frequent successions also let you take full advantage of the South's shorter planting season in spring and fall. Multiple plantings of slower crops. Some slow-maturing crops we plant only once because they provide continuous harvests from one planting or a single harvest that helps well in storage for months to come. However, some slow-maturing crops benefit from multiple plantings, especially crops that don't keep well in storage, taste best straight from the garden, or produce smaller harvests as the season progresses. It's not so sad seeing your old zucchini plants wither up when you've got fresh new ones coming on. Corn, cucumbers, carrots, winter and summer squash, pole beans, melons, broccoli, and cabbage all benefit from staggered planting. Intercropping and relay planting. Get more food from your garden space by planting a quick maturing crop alongside a slow maturing one called intercropping. You'll harvest the quick maturing one in time to make space for the slower one to take over the rest of the bed. Relay planting is intercropping where you plant a new crop while the previous crop is still in the bed. We sow spring peas in between rows of overwintered spinach. When the peas are about a foot tall, we're done harvesting the last spinach leaves and we pull the plants. Catch crops. When a space opens up that you're not expecting, take advantage of the situation. Mix in some compost and sow a quick maturing crop of something or other, or pop in a few plants from your seedling bed. Make the most of each planting. Try planting shorter and longer season varieties of the same crop at the same time. The shorter season one will come on early, and when it's done, the later one is getting ready to eat. We especially like doing this with sweet corn and broccoli. Or you can choose a variety that doesn't mature all at once. Many heirlooms have this quality because our gardening forebears wanted continuous harvests from one planting. You can also get more from one planting by choosing tall, continuously bearing, indeterminate types rather than short bush plants with more concentrated harvests. Planting seasons. Gardeners have figured out a lot of different arrangements for putting plants in the ground. There are traditional rows, raised beds, broadcast seeding, hills, square foot gardens, containers, and so on. Don't feel you have to pick just one planting season system. Mix and match. Go wild. On our farm at SESE, we have permanent raised beds in the herb garden, temporary raised beds that change from year to year for root crops and greens, and we garden on the flat for most everything else, some in rows, some in stations. Raised beds. There are many advantages to raised beds, which is why they're so popular. The soil drains well and warms up faster in the spring. You fertilize just the bed and not the paths. You only walk on the paths. So there is no threat of compacting the beds. The extra inches of light, fluffy soil help plant roots get growing quickly. You can frame your raised beds with lumber, salvaged is best, or other materials such as bricks or stones. A framed border of some sort is attractive, prevents foot traffic, and defines your beds. Unframed beds tend to creep larger with time until they're tiptoeing down tiny aisles. But framing makes it harder to change your garden layout and makes it harder to use tools like hoes and weed the edges of the beds. How big should you make your beds? Well, how much space do you have? And how flexible and nimble are you? Commercial farm beds are usually 4 feet wide with 12-inch aisles. This will give you the maximum space for plants. I find that 3-foot wide beds with 18-inch aisles are much more comfortable. To make a raised bed, begin by deeply tilling the soil, then use a shovel to scrape off the top 2 to 4 inches of soil from the adjacent aisles and pile it on the bed. We use raised beds for early spring planting and the winter garden, but we look to other planting systems when the soil is already warm and especially when dry conditions are a concern. Square foot gardening. If you have a very small garden, the square foot system is an effective way to maximize your space. Forget about rows. In this system, you divide your raised beds into 1 by 1 foot squares and use the leaf area of each plant to determine how many will fit. The really close spacings get the most from small areas, but require you to intensively improve your soil. This is a great choice for those with a tiny garden or poorer soil who don't mind building a lot of compost and other amendments. Gardening on the flat. Gardening on the flat is as simple as it sounds. In well-drained condition, it suits corn, vining crops like winter squash and melons, sweet potatoes, and other space hogs. Lay out your fixed paths and your garden beds. Enrich the planting areas, but don't bother giving them an extra lift of raised beds. Keep everything on the same level. Your beds won't dry out as quickly as raised beds do in the summer. That's ideal for summer crops and hot weather nursery sowing. Container gardening. Don't have a yard or plant to plant? Don't despair. People are doing incredible things with tiny spaces and container gardens. Containers let you take advantage of sunshine wherever you have it, on your driveway, roof, patio, or in window boxes. Craig LeHoulier of Raleigh, North Carolina, who discovered the Cherokee purple tomato, grows hundreds of tomato plants in containers lined up on his driveway. Smaller containers are good for getting an early start with greens and herbs. For deep-rooted plants, you'll need deep containers, 5 gallons or more. Get creative, especially with repurposed items, from 55-gallon metal drums cut in half to whiskey barrels to plastic buckets. Whatever you choose, it needs to drain. Punch holes in the bottom and you're set. Use a tray underneath to protect the floor. Keep in mind that straight soil doesn't work in pots. It cracks, drains poorly, and becomes compacted. High-quality organic potting soils or sifted compost are your best choices for containers. Keeping your container garden watered is crucial. Self-watering containers are great for people always on the go. Plans for making your own are available online, or you can purchase them pre-made from your local garden center. Community gardens and other shared spaces. In the Southeast, we're just now seeing the big increase in community gardens that's been happening in other areas. People are excited about the local food movement, and they want to be part of it themselves. City dwellers, as well as those in more rural community places, are getting together and turning vacant lots, church lawns, community centers, and other underused spaces into glorious gardens. These aren't usually official city projects. They can be informal arrangements between neighbors or landowners and the community or church-sponsored gardening projects for youth. Not only do these gardens give people access to land, they also allow for sharing of tools, information, and infrastructure. Find local gardening groups who will help you point you towards these projects. If there is not a community garden near you, there are some great resources in print and online to help you start one. Many community gardens projects are donated at least a portion of their produce to local food banks or other charitable organizations. One example is Plant a Row for the Hungry, a project of the Garden Writers Association. They can help you start your own local campaign if you're interested. Keeping garden records. Gardening is a never-ending learning experience, but it's surprising how hard it can be to remember what you've learned from one season to the next. Keeping a garden journal is one easy way to keep track of what is happening in your garden. A very simple system is to just keep track of what you planted and when on a wall calendar. But there's actually a lot more to record, and you'll be able to improve future garden plans by giving yourself space to get more details down about each crop. We follow the example of Thomas Jefferson and record everything, sowing and transplanting dates, varieties first harvested, last harvest, how much was harvested, weather events, any pest or disease problems, and what you did about them, and any stray thoughts for the future of your garden. Here at Southern Exposure on our certified organic farm, we keep extensive records. We prefer to use spreadsheets to plan and keep track of what actually happened in our garden. If spreadsheets aren't your cup of tea, you can purchase a garden journal that helps with organization. Some gardeners find jotting down planting and harvest dates on a wall calendar gives them all the information they need. For more detailed records, many tech-savvy gardeners use one of the new online garden planning tools in the resources section of this book. Well, I'll read that when we get to it. And I have been enjoying getting reminders of when to plant in my inbox. And our next topic is creating your rotation. One of the simplest and best ways to prevent diseases and pests in your garden is to use a good crop rotation. Plants in the same family have similar nutritional needs and attract similar pests. A well-organized rotation helps to best utilize available nutrients and may reduce the chance of a soil-borne disease getting established or nasty bugs surviving over winter. The key here is to know your plant families and avoid planting related plants in the same area year after year. I recommend waiting 3 or 4 years between planting a crop from any given family in the same spot. Getting to know plant families is not only good for planning crop rotation, but also is an essential tool of the trade for being a good seed saver and being aware of things that might cross-pollinate and mix up your carefully tended seeds. To get extra planning, to get started planning your rotation, figure out your must-have crops for your garden and how much space each needs. Now divide them into families. Take out your garden map to draw a rough estimate. Divide the map into 6 or 8 areas and try to fit everything, keeping the family groupings together and allowing at least one space for cover crops. This may take a bit of adjusting, and in a small garden, it won't always come out perfectly, but your goal is an allocation of space that lets you systematically rotate your crops around the garden so that no one family is in the same place more often than every 3 years. If you have enough space to allow for a longer rotation and more cover crops, all the better. A 6-bed rotation might start like this. Bed 1, all-season cover crop. Bed 2, tomatoes, pepper, potatoes, eggplant. Bed 3, onions, garlic, leek, shallots, beets, and chard. Bed 4, peas, beans, southern peas, and peanuts. Bed 5, squash, corn, melons, pumpkins, cucumbers. And bed 6, cabbage, lettuce, radish, broccoli, kale, turnip, and Asian greens. For the second year, you could move your extended cover crop to bed 6 and move everything else over one bed. So you'd have bed 1 is tomato, pepper, potatoes, and eggplant. Bed 2, onions, garlic, leeks, shallots, beets, and chard. Bed 3, peas, beans, southern peas, peanuts. Bed 4, squash, corn, melons, pumpkins, cucumbers. And bed 5, cabbage, lettuce, radish, broccoli, kale, turnips, and Asian greens. And then bed 6, all season cover crop. And for the third year, move your tomatoes and other nightshades to bed 6. And again, move everything else over one bed. So you now have bed 1, which is onions, garlic, leeks, shallots, beets, and chard. Bed 2 is peas, beans, southern peas, and peanuts. Bed 3 is squash, corn, melons, pumpkins, and cucumbers. Bed 4, cabbage, lettuce, radish, broccoli, and kale, turnips, and Asian greens. And bed 5, all-season cover crop. Bed 6, tomato, pepper, potatoes, and eggplant. A simple rotation makes things easy, but be sure to leave lots of room for flexibility in your plan. In the scheme above, if you wanted 2 beds of nightshades, you have 4 beds to expand into that haven't grown anything in that family for 2 or more years. And here's just some quick tips for good garden planning. Time your planting. Have your seeds and transplants ready when the timing and weather are right. Don't rush planting out tender seedlings when the soil is too cold or wet in the spring. But at the same time, don't delay or the hot weather will come and you'll have to wait until fall. Prepare the soil. Work the soil and prepare beds ahead of time so that you'll be ready when the seedlings and weather are ready. I try to prepare some beds for spring planting in the fall or during a January thaw when we have a week where highs are more than 60 degrees Fahrenheit. This avoids the need to work soil that is too wet at planting time. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anadine Silver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. And next program, we'll start in with planning for planting. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again.